Good morning and welcome to Bold River Baptist Church. We're excited that you're joining us this morning. We would love it if you could come and be a part of our morning worship and Bible study at the church on Old River. To find out our service times, you can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
Hopefully I won't knock the flowers off as I move this. If you're here a few Sundays ago, you got to see a flower arrangement go rolling down the steps. So that was fun. If you want to turn to Luke chapter 24, that's where we're going to be this morning, Luke chapter 24. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, isn't it? Well, I saw a few minutes ago you had plans that you were going to sit down for a little while, and then because of some young pastor over here, he stood up, and then people start going, should we stand up? All I know is that song said, if you love him, will you stand with us? I don't know what to do. And so I'm just glad to see everybody here this morning. And I don't know what your plans are this afternoon, but I want to ask you to change them. And you're like, oh my goodness, there's a ham or something. What's he talking about? I just want you to change your plans right now to where instead of focusing on what is going to happen after the service, that you focus in for the next 25 minutes right here, right now. Because we're not here serving a dead person. We don't march around the tomb of a dead person. We can go to Israel and you can walk in Jerusalem. And as one of my pastor friends was there just a couple of weeks ago, he said, I walked in and it's empty. He's not there. And that's the God that we serve, one that loved us enough to send his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And because he has conquered death, we know that we have life eternal through him if we declare his name as Lord of our life and we believe in our heart that he was raised from the dead. And so this morning as we read, we're going to read for a little while. And I usually, just so you know, I ask people to stand whenever I read. But because we're reading quite a bit, I'm going to allow you to sit this morning, especially since I made you stand in the special music. So you do not have to stand with me this morning. But we're going to read quite a bit of Luke 24 because they're all events that happen the day of the resurrection. You know, we're going to find out that there are a group of ladies, a man, and then two gentlemen that had plans that day. How many of you make plans only to realize that they never work out and you just need to change them? I mean, if you have a family, you know that that's how things happen. Whenever I was in college, me and my brother lived together through college. We ran a coffee shop for a little while. So at midnight, we were closing down the coffee shop, and every night we had the same plan. Get the coffee shop closed as soon as possible. The ladies at the Waffle House down the road knew what our orders were, and we needed to be there by a certain time because coffee and our orders were going to be on the table. You say, how often did you go? Every night. It was a lot of Waffle House, and we affectionately call it the Awful House. For those of you who remember back before the smoking ban in Waffle House, you'll know why it's called the Awful House. But we loved the Waffle House, but we would make plans and everything was fine. And then one day I met this young lady and I fell in love and I thought everything was going to go just as planned and my plans changed. Because Rhonda came into my life and then I realized that I don't get to make plans, she makes the plans. So every plan that I ever had got changed. And then I thought, you know, we'll start a family, we'll get some things, everything will go as planned. Then I started having children, and you know, that changes your plans. But when you have daughters, they really begin to change plans. And I love all three of my little girls to death, but I never thought I'd walk around and people go, hey, you know you got glitter on your back? I'm like, I understand. I got it on my back and all that stuff. But you know what? That's love is what I considered. If I can do that. I just ask that they don't wash their clothes with my clothes. That's all I ask, is that we can keep that separate. But plans change. And we're going to find out that these three different problems that come up, one with the ladies, one with the young man, and then one with the two men, they had plans. They had set their course, and their plans changed on Resurrection Sunday. And I want to ask you, did you come here today with plans that I'm going to go to church because it's what I'm supposed to do on Sunday morning? For those of you, and I hope you don't get offended at this, but we talk about the Creasters a lot around here. They're the people that are here on Christmas and Easter. And maybe you're saying, man, he just called me out. Here's what I want you to know. There's a reason that you're here this morning. And I believe it with my heart that you're here this morning. But if you are making plans that are outside this room right now, make the plan to listen in. Because whatever plans that you've made, God has something more important for you. And if you're here, and you're here every Sunday, I want to tell you, whatever that plan is in your mind, don't let that outweigh what the Spirit wants to tell you this morning. Because we're going to find out two of these gentlemen knew what the process should have been. They were churched, yet they had missed the whole boat. And so this morning, as I read, would you read along with me, starting in verse 1 of chapter 24 of Luke. It says this in Luke chapter 24, verse 1, "But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened, and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? For he is not here.'" What does it say? "He is risen." Man, that's the focus of everything we believe as Christians, is that moment. But he says, "Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." You need to mark that on the third day. He had told them that. They had known that. That was something that Jesus had told them. And that they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and all to the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to be an idle tale or a fairy tale, like this is too crazy. They hallucinated. And they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. And there he went home, and from there he went home marveling at what had happened. That very day, the same day of the resurrection, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near to them and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing them. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that had happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" That's Jesus responding, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped," notice that, "we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day. Remember what I told you to mark at the beginning? They say, now it's the third day since he was crucified. "Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning. And when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. So some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself." May God bless the reading of his word. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that gives us true and honest and correct testimony of your resurrection. And Father, I pray in this room today that if there's anyone that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that, Father, that you would knock on their hearts this morning and that you would help them to realize that the plans they have made for their life, maybe even sometimes the things that they don't know what's going on, the things that are unplanned, that you want to walk with them and give them light because you are the light of the world. And so, Lord, we ask you this morning that you would be with us. Lord Jesus, we honor you this morning. We pray all these things in your holy son's name. Amen. So we have a group of women. We have the disciple, now apostle, Peter, those who had walked with Jesus, seen him alive. And then we have a group of travelers, two men who are traveling to Emmaus. So let's take the first group of people. They had a plan. Everything that morning revolved around getting to the dead body of Jesus Christ. They had watched the crucifixion at the foot of the cross. They had been there as Joseph of Arimathea and other followers took him down off of the cross. They had quickly and hastily prepared his body for burial because the Sabbath was coming. And in their culture, whenever it said honor the Sabbath at sundown on Friday till sundown on Saturday, yet Friday to Saturday, you did not do anything. In fact, they had gotten so rigorous about the rules and regulations that they could only take so many steps that day. And it was known that if you took a mat with you and you walked too far and you were counting your steps, that even if you were 10 feet from your house, if you walked too far, you had to put your mat down and you had to sit on it and wait for the sun to go down Saturday so you could walk the rest of the 10 feet to your house. And so they were waiting for that time period to end, and it ended at 6 o'clock, and it was dark, and so they had to wait through the night, and they're trying to figure out what they do. They just saw this beloved man crucified, this man that was so good to them, and they show up at the tomb, and he's not there. Hey, guess what? Their plans changed. You see, what were they going for? They had spices. They were going to do the routine. They were going to see death at its work again. They were going to see another person that had been claimed by the clutches of what this life has to offer, ultimately at the end, death. That's where they were going. They were not expecting an empty tomb. They weren't expecting, they wouldn't have prepared spices if they thought that they were going to find an empty tomb. They were going to go through the motions of what this life has to offer. And I don't know if you've checked the stats lately or anything, but every one in one person dies. Okay? It's a true statement. It's 100%. And as I told our Wednesday night crowd the other night, unless your name starts with an E, you have no chance of getting there. Because in the Bible, only two people didn't die. One was Elijah and one was Enoch. And so if you don't have a name that starts with E, you're out of luck. For those of you with an E, you can take it upon yourself to see what's going to happen. But Jesus was supposed to be laying in the grave. These are people who had walked. They knew who Jesus was. They had seen everything. And they had a plan. They were going to take the stench of death from Jesus. That's what they were doing. They were going to take the and just kind of cover the stench of death. But what's amazing is that Jesus had canceled the sting of death. You see, whenever he rose, it's a mark that from now on, those who believe in him have eternal life with the Father. And for those who don't believe in him, it still marks that our souls live on, that we are spiritual beings, that it's not about earth, it's about a spiritual eternity. And in today's world, we don't think about eternity, we're about the now. That's why we have remote controls and microwaves, and whenever we have the timer at some of the fast food restaurants, I'm like, how fast can they get before it's just all wrong all the time? But we're concentrating on what's now, what's happening, I want this, I want that. If y'all have been here, if you haven't, me and my wife just moved here. I've been the pastor here for 3 months. And so we had sold a house in Fort Worth, and it fell through, and so we had to live with some other people. It's been great. Those people have been amazing. It's been a huge blessing. But we got all of our stuff moved from the storage to our house on Thursday, and we had about a 12-hour notice that they were coming to get it. So we were like, oh, wow, this is great. Easter Sunday weekend, the week before, we're moving stuff. And people have been phenomenal. But on the way through Thursday, my parents were going to Luling. They came and grabbed our two older girls. And they took them to Luling, where my brother's a pastor. And we're unpacking things frantically. And one of the things that Rhonda really wanted to do was to get their rooms set up because she wants their life to kind of look like normal. Even though when you walk out of their rooms, there's boxes and mattresses, and then there's stuff that we're like, I didn't even know we owned this, and we're trying to figure out whose it is. And so we're trying to figure all that out. And we want everything now, and so we call to find out what, if I'm having a nephew or a niece, that's why they were going over there. And our girls are asking, well, what do the rooms look like? Are you done with our rooms and all this stuff? And one of them says, is the house unpacked? And we're like, child, if you were on this side of the phone, you might get spanked or something, because we're sitting there with all these boxes and they're like, we just want the house, and they're so excited about the house, but our lives are focused on the now. And I want to tell you something, friend, when you walk in this life without Jesus, the only thing that you know is the now. It's whenever something hits you, like somebody running up and just punching you from the blind side, it just hits you. When that tragic accident happens, or whenever the job goes away, or whenever that person who would never hurt you, whenever those things happen, why does that stuff happen? I want to let you know something. That's the routine that life on this earth is going to throw at you. Because this world offers nothing. And when they went, that's what they were going for, the nothing. It's the death. But where they were going to cleanse the stench, God had covered and canceled death. And we have that promise of life eternal through Jesus Christ. The next thing that we see is that they go back and they tell about what they had seen, and the apostles are all like, we don't know. We don't know what's happening. Sounds like a fairy tale. One of my daughters has a Cinderella room, because every little girl wants to be Cinderella, and that's kind of the way they took it. Well, this is just their little story. This is what they want to be. They want him to be alive. They're just imagining it. They're so hurt that they're dreaming these things. And they all just kind of sat. But notice that there's one person. This is an amazing testimony about Peter. Because it says, but Peter. I always love it in the Bible where it says but, because usually there's something coming after that where God is just taking control of something, or you're about to see some work in someone's life. You see, Peter is in a different boat than everybody else that's at the table. Peter has been one of Jesus' closest friends for the past 3 years. Peter was on a boat the first time he saw Jesus. He was the one that saw and had nets that were empty, and he said, hey, throw them on the other side. And Peter draws the nets, and he can't even get them in his boat. And he begins to follow him, and Jesus says, hey, I don't want to teach you how to fish. I want you to teach you how to catch men with the love of God. And Peter would see everything that these women had seen, and even more. He would go to private places with Jesus and James and John, and they would have deep discussions about things. But the night of his betrayal, Peter, the closest friend of Jesus, was walking behind the scenes in a courtyard trying to keep warm by fire, but keep intact with what was going on with Jesus. And so he's standing back there, and y'all remember what happened that night. Jesus had told him at the Last Supper, before the rooster crows in the morning, you will have denied me 3 times. And Peter said, no, I won't. I'll go wherever you go. And Jesus rebuked him. And so Peter, that night, would deny Christ 3 times, saying that he wasn't with him, that he didn't know him, and then finally on the last time, he even cursed at the person and said, I am not one of them. Peter's bearing some weight. Peter had a plan. Just like those ladies had a plan to go and just try to cover the stench of death. Peter was going to have to focus on his failure the rest of his life. You know, I've never told somebody right in front of them that I didn't know them. But there's been times in my life that I've done things that's hurt people, sometimes unintentionally. And sadly, like everyone in this room, we've done something in our past that we're like, man, that really hurt somebody, and we knew it was, but we did it anyhow. And you remember that weight, that guilt. And you may be sitting here right now going, man, he's bringing up that too? What's going on? But if we haven't cleaned that up, if we haven't gone back, if we haven't said, it bears weight on us, it drags us down, we can't focus on much else but that, and we're so worried about what's going to happen. And if you're like me, you just want to fix the problem. You want to get there, you want to make things right, you want to say, hey, forgive me, I just want our relationship to be restored, I don't want you upset with me, I want you and me to be okay. Peter didn't have the opportunity because he's dead. Can you imagine that? Some of you probably say, yeah, I remember the last words I had with a sister or a brother or a mom or a dad that were literally my last words that I didn't know they would ever be. That's why at the end of the day, when you go to bed at night, you should kiss your wife or your husband and say, I love you. And when you leave for work, husbands or wives, that you should find your husband or your wife. And even if it's tense in your house, that you should say, I love you. That you should try to hold to something, because at this point, Peter is saying, I have to focus the rest of my life on this failure, that I denied Christ, and there's no way to recover from this failure. But these ladies came, and they had a different story. And all of a sudden, Peter started to think, what is happening? What's going on? And he runs. And you know what happens? In other Gospels, we hear that John ran right behind him, and John actually beat him. I don't know if Peter was eating too much fried fish, but he didn't run as fast as John. So John gets to the tomb, but it says that the disciple that Jesus loved stops at the tomb, and he just looks in. But what does it say? It says that Peter went in. And Peter wanted to see something. He wanted to see, because he knew that while he had thought his plan was to focus on his failure, if Jesus was alive, he could focus on his future. And I want to tell you something, friend. If you don't know Jesus Christ, there's a future that God wants you to have. And he doesn't want you to wallow in the failures of your life. He doesn't want you to believe that he can't forgive you. He is willing to forgive anything that you can bring to the table. He says, my mercies are new every morning. I desire a relationship with you. You can't outrun God. He's right behind you saying, just come to me, lay your burden down, you weak and heavy laden, for my burden is light. He wants your weariness and your failures, and he will carry it for you. You see, whenever Peter walked in, he was dreaming of the chance to say, I can make amends, and there's a future ahead of me to serve a risen Savior. Peter is a true demonstration of what it means to seek repentance. When he heard the story, he didn't say it was an idle tale. He ran. Is God calling you to him this morning? All I can say is you need to run to him. If you say, well, the resurrection, we don't know if it's true. Well, it's been being told for 2,000 years. There ain't a court document that's ever been given that showed they found a body. There isn't ever been a court document that showed that the body is still there. There isn't anything of that fact. In fact, these 12 men and the rest of the followers would go on their whole life telling about Jesus, and each one of the disciples would die a horrendous death in the name of Jesus. I don't know 12 men that would die for a lie. I wouldn't die for a lie, but they did. And if you remember the Watergate scandal, they grilled 12 men they couldn't hold up for 3 days for a lie. But these men were convinced that they saw Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something. The resurrection's true. And it gives you a plan change. It changes the plans of, is this life all there is? No, there's eternal life by the resurrection of Jesus. Does it mean the plans are, is that I failed and God can't accept me? No. You don't have to focus on your failure. You can focus on your future. Amen. But finally, there is two guys. And church, I want you to listen here, because these are the saddest two guys I think I've ever met. Thankfully, Jesus met with them. But as we read their story, they say they're walking, and they have a 7-mile journey. You kind of wonder, why they put 7 miles in there? We don't know. Luke was very, he just wanted to have all the details. And so he put 7 miles. And just so you know, when you're driving down the freeway, a lot of times you'll see 14, 21, 28 on the mile markers. It's because back when it was farming communities, 7 miles was a day's journey that you could go to church, spend time at church, and then walk back and be home before dark. That's why it's 7 miles. So most cities are 7 miles apart. That is not something America came up with. That's been going on for a long time. Apparently, we don't walk any slower or faster than they did. So it says that they were discussing and Jesus appears to them, but they didn't recognize him. And I want you to key in on some things. Whenever they're talking about him, they've already set Jesus aside. When they describe Jesus, in verse 19, Jesus asks them, what things happened in Jerusalem? And they say, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, listen to how they describe him. A man who was a prophet. They had missed everything. Jesus had been with them. These were guys that were in the upper room. If they were in the upper room, that meant they followed Jesus for a certain amount of time. No matter if it was a year, 2 years, or all 3 years of his ministry, they knew what Jesus taught about himself. They were there when he said, I am the light of the world. I am the true vine. I am the Lamb of God. All those things. They were there, but they had written it all off. And they said he was just a prophet, mighty indeed. And they crucified him, they condemned death, and they crucified him. Now listen to what 21 says, but we had hoped. If you're sitting in this room and you say that I want to claim Jesus, but I don't want to be named after Jesus, this is you. They had every bit of knowledge. But at the moment of his death, it went from being he's the Savior to just he's a prophet. That he's not the one to redeem Israel. And they would even go on to say, and even beyond that, it's been 3 days. He's dead. Now, they'll go on to say what the women told them. But you see, what they were hoping for is what people hope for, comfort. That's what they were hoping for, was to be able to live life the way they wanted to live. You see, when they say establish Israel, they weren't concerned about their spiritual life. They were worried about what was physically happening around them at that moment. You see, at the time of David, Israel was the most powerful nation on earth. It was wealthier than any other nation. They had a king that slayed giants. They had it all. It was the golden age of Israel. And then after David, this king, his son rises up and he's the smartest person to ever walk the earth. In fact, other kingdoms would come to Israel to sit at the feet of Solomon to hear his wisdom. And Solomon had wisdom because he had asked God, hey, give me wisdom to lead your people. And so they had this great thing. But then after Solomon died, the people of God started to drift away and kings became what kings become. Someone who gets to rule over people. And so for years they would fight and divide the kingdom, and eventually the north kingdom would fall, and then the south kingdom would fall. And yes, I know the dates, but I don't want to give them to you. And so they would do all this stuff, and we could go into all the history, but they're under captivity, and then they get led off, and it's not pretty, and there's all these things that are rough that happen to them until finally the Roman government comes and takes over, and the Romans are now in power. The government that the Israelites want, the Romans say, hey, if you don't cause any trouble, we'll let you name a king. But guess what? That king's not really a king, because if Pilate overruled King Herod, it didn't matter, because they were under Roman captivity. And so they were hoping that this man was going to lead the revolt, lead the charge, that even if it was through his death, that people would be ignited with passion to take and put Israel back on the map. And they are looking at what earth has to offer and what they want God to do here. Church member or person who's sitting here thinking, because I'm in church, God's going to do something for me. These two guys had missed the boat. Jesus didn't come for this place. He came for you in your heart in a relationship with you. Jesus did not call anyone to comfort. He called them to commitment and confession. And these two people had walked were already convinced that he was just a prophet. And just because we live in the United States, thank the Lord, many times we say, well, this is just how life is supposed to be. We're supposed to get this stuff done, and I'm just going to be as Christian as I have to be to remain on the good book, and I'm not going to. There's no such thing as the good book. There's only the book of life, and then there's the rest. And the only people that gets their name written in the Lamb's book of life is whenever he signs in his blood your name because you have declared him as Lord of your life. And whenever you do that, he has given you a future that's with God and not separated from God. He takes away failures and says, focus on your future and we'll take care of those things. But it's going to be work. And whenever he's talking to these guys, he reprimands them. And I'm afraid that he would do it to many of us. He says, oh, foolish ones and slow to heart to believe what the prophets have spoken. What's he saying? Everything in this Bible points to Jesus Christ. As Dr. Tony Moreta says, there's only one superhero from Genesis to Revelation, and his name is Jesus. From the moment of the curse, whenever the lamb was slain and Adam and Eve were being punished, Eve is told that you will have children, and then Satan is said, from that woman, one of her seed will come, and you will bruise his heel, but he will crush your head and defeat you. That's the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And that was at the very beginning, and at the very end, it says he comes on a white horse calling his own, and that we will be standing with him victorious. That's Jesus. I want to tell you something. If you're just looking to get by in this world and just be as non-committal as possible or not stand out that much, that's not Jesus. Jesus calls us to a life of following him, professing him, praising him, giving to him, and being his image on earth. That's what we're called to. But what I love about it is even in that moment when they are so far off base, and they've already written this man named Jesus off. What does it say that he did? It says, and beginning with Moses and the prophets, he took all the scripture of the Old Testament. He interpreted to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. Friend, this morning, you may came in here with plans just to sit, hear a sermon, hear some music, see a grandchild sing, hear a choir sing, which they all did fantastic. You may have come because grandmama said you had to come. You may have come because your wife bought a shirt that matches everybody else. But whatever the reason is, hear me. Is your plan supposed to change this morning? Are you still living in the stench of death? And do you need your plan to change to live with the one who took away the sting of death? Are you wobbling in failures and wandering in failures and trying to figure out what's the way out when you've clearly heard many times the Lord calling you saying, hey, come to me, come to me. I can help you with your attitude about your marriage. You say, what about my marriage? He's going to help you first with your attitudes about your marriage, and then you guess what? You'll begin to see God's work in your marriage. I don't know what to do about my job or my addiction or whatever the case may be. There's nothing that God didn't die for when it comes to sin. It says that when he died once and for all for the salvation of all. And is he calling you this morning? Or finally, if your plan always been to sit in church and just get by, because it's what's comfortable, it's what's expected, and if I'm there, I feel okay. I want to tell you something. Those two men, without Jesus talking to them, they were as lost as anybody else. Because Jesus wasn't just a good man. He wasn't just a leader. He was the Son of God in flesh. And in this way, God demonstrated his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of that sin is death. But the gift of God, the gift of this resurrection, the gift of that promise is eternal life. And there's no other name by which men must be saved. Is that you this morning? You said, well, it's going to change plans if I fill out a card and I check that I need to talk to somebody or that I come forward and talk to somebody. Heaven forbid I have to stand up for something. Hey, is God telling you to change your plans this morning? Because if He is, there's only one answer to God that you need to have, which is yes. Don't walk away saying no, because that's the only two options. Yes, no. But come to God this morning, because we serve a risen Savior. And I know this, that my failures and my past and what I used to do and when I lived in the world and I thought this was it, that all stopped the day I said, I'm going to focus on You and You are my Lord. And now what's amazing is I have three beautiful girls and a wife that I fail miserably all the time at leading them in the Lord. But you know what? God constantly comes behind me and says, hey, you know what? Keep doing your best and I'm going to keep working on you. But guess what? I'm your future. And I hold them as well. Trust me. Church, friend, is there a change of plans for you this morning?
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us. If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week.